B-Pod Studios.
Hey, we are the Toucher and Rich Rick.
Over New England.
I have no idea how we're doing all over New England.
The show is just killing it up in Maine and New Hampshire. Killing it.
I was told the fastest growing morning show.
Oh, nice. Okay.
In Maine.
Okay, let's put that on a t-shirt.
Fastest growing.
All right.
No, your agent told you that?
No, it was a liner I read the other day.
Okay.
Ah.
So we're taking Portland by storm.
Listen, fastest, I'm fine with that.
All right, good.
Fastest growing.
We could have gone from a 0.9 to a 1.4.
Hey, you guys are going to be throwing out the first pitch at Sea Dogs games in the spring. Write it down.
I love Sea Dogs.
Rich, I heard your promo twice yesterday on the drive.
Ah, nice.
All right.
Excellent. The fastest growing one?
Mike Gorman coming up today. And also
Conway is.
Is there you have to Okemo, but it's on rails.
Okay. You're stopped. You're done.
So I go to the place with the alpine slide. I've decided I'm taking my...
Around ski season.
Right. So, but what are the other activities for me? Because I'm
peeping.
There's outlets. There's probably outlets up there somewhere.
Some outlet mall.
I'm just amazed that people would drive these distances to go to some mountain with no snow on it.
You see, I actually love that during the summer. I do.
What do you do?
I'm told I just got a tweet from a guy. He said Attitash. Attitash, they have it, and they have a zip line and a lot of horses you can look at, apparently.
Yeah, that's the other thing is that they put into a lot of these places are the where you're walking amongst the trees and where you got the thing at cable attached to your back.
Yeah.
That's not a zip, because a zip line's like when you're flying from one tree to the next.
Well, I mean, it's that kind of thing. You're hanging from a line and you're sliding over something.
You would walk over these rope bridges and then you would zoom on over to another rope bridge.
Yeah. Right. It's outward bound with your family. It's trust falls everywhere.
Yeah, which seems like an easy idea. And then you get there, because I've been on vacation. Mm-hmm. In the Caribbean, and then they've they go you want to take this 45-minute drive to the middle of the jungle and go in this stupid zip line, and I'm like, no.
See, I'm being told the Attitash Mountain Alpine Slide still exists.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, I will say this about the Alpine Slide. It does do the trick. It's one of the few things that you can do, as far as a thrill ride, where there's an actual fear that you could end up with, losing parts of your body.
Right, but my point is that you go down the alpine slide, and now you've and I got to imagine that's a 4 or 5 minute experience.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then you've said to yourself, okay, well, now I have 23 hours.
Cabin.
Okay, now I've had my waffles, and now I have... 22 hours.
Drive home and take
minutes.
A nap to the waffle cabin.
Right. And then, you go to one of the knockoff Disney World amusement parks that are all around New England.
Yeah.
You go see a bird with one eye over at the York or whatever that is.
No, yeah, that's fine.
It's funny because...
York's Wild Kingdom, off, Rich. Come on.
It's off to the left. I know exactly where that is. Yeah.
It's like when you
have... yesterday.
When you have little kids, you feel this... real little kids, you feel this responsibility to go do stupid crap.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, my kids never liked any of it. My kids didn't like Storyland. They
didn't like Santa's Village and Storyland?
We never went to Santa's Village.
Santa's Village is all right.
Santa's Village is about 45, it's 40 minutes north of Storyland?
It's very far.
Yes, it's way up there. We did that
one. And you've already driven to North Conway, so you're like, all right, I'm not going 45 minutes further for anything. So you feel this obligation, but then my kids didn't really like Disney. My kids were not into Disney. The funny thing is we took that Disney cruise, and the Disney cruise is fascinating. And I was on the boat long enough to try to understand it. Uh-huh. And my kids were trying to understand it. Because a Disney cruise is literally half adults with no kids. And they're smaller boats.
It's a boat full of crashes.
Yes. Yeah. But the only thing they do on the Disney cruise... that's Disney is the artwork on the walls, mm-hmm. and then they'll have someone come out I'm Cinderella, and you take your picture with them.
I thought the whole selling point was that they basically had a babysitter for you.
Yeah, but that's for kids. Yeah, they had like a kids thing that you could go play in, but I mean, it was no great thing.
You're saying what is the angle for these adults that have no kids?
Right, because there was an adults-only pool. And then, and another thing is they're always showing a Disney movie on the big screen by the pool.
Well, you can't find those anywhere nowadays.
Yeah, exactly. So I sat there the whole time going, like, why would an adult be on this? Like, why would you want your picture taken with someone dressed as Cinderella? Why would you want to base your whole trip on, like, Disney artwork on the walls? I didn't understand any of it.
Yeah, it's funny. The pictures with Cinderella, there's an article I read, and I don't know if you've seen this. It was an interview off the record with a bunch of the characters and people who play the characters at Disney World, and how the many ways that they have been hit on, and men have, like, slipped them room keys and along those lines. And I guess that there is they came with this big list of different codes that are announced over the speakers. Something like that. I forget what that was, but there's like that was like a code S or something. But there are different codes for things that you never would have thought of. Like, you don't want to put on the announcement that someone has vomited all over the place. You say, in Frontierland, we have a code V. That means obviously vomit.
Right.
There is an actual code. I think it's a code W. And that is for, because it happens so much, somebody dumping ashes into a ride.
Oh, sure.
And Crash Clark did that. He took his mother's ashes and dumped them into It's a Small World. So if you're ever on any of those rides and you're putting your hand in the water, first of all, you're a maniac. Second of all, you're high-fiving Crash's mom. And third of all, I don't know why of all the places you would want to spend eternity than one that has that song playing on loop over and over and over again.
Well, it's so fun. I mean, It's a Small World is so fun. Like, every kid loves it. You get in, and it inevitably breaks down. So you get to sit there, and then it breaks down. Nothing happens on those rides.
See, I like It's a Small World. That is because you're usually there when it's hot, and it's the one ride where you can just sit there, and the air conditioning's fantastic, and just chill and forget about everything.
Yeah, my kids never were into it. My kids never, like, they didn't, like, freak out when they saw Mickey Mouse or anything like that. They didn't care.
Here's some of the codes, by the way. First of all, have a Disney day is basically how employees tell people to F off. When they say have a Disney day, that is kind of like a wink to every other employee there. When you hear someone say that, so you're basically telling them to go to hell.
So there's guys who fetishize these characters.
Yes, and slip them keys and do stuff like that. And then some have gotten actual trouble because, I mean, it's true. They're just doing their job, and they got guys like keeping their arms on them and maybe groping them and stuff. That's not good. All right, code V. That is if an overexcited child vomits or makes a mess. It's reported as a code V. Lost adult. With so many kids running around, it's no wonder that kids get lost. The Disney team never uses the term lost child to avoid causing panic. Instead, it is lost adult. White powder alert.
Hell yeah.
That is the spreading of ashes in the park, which now is completely illegal. And if it's scattered on a ride, they say it's a white powder alert. Code 101 and code 102... that means code 101 is temporarily unavailable. Code 102 means it's back in business. So they don't want to say the ride is out of business. Say it's a code 101.
No, the ride's always out of business because if you go on like Pirates of the Caribbean, it's constantly breaking down.
How did you avoid there's certain things like when you're up in New Hampshire and you're in like Vermont, like Clark's,
I won't go to Vermont.
Clark's Trading Post. Like, how come you never went there and saw the wild man with his shotgun and on his jalopy taking over a train?
My kids wouldn't. The only thing we did was the Polar Express, is that we would go and do the Polar Express.
Okay.
That was the one thing that we did. But my kids didn't care about any of that. They just did. They, for some reason, logically knew that it was just people in costumes and didn't care. Like, they never got, like, really into Disney or anything like that, which God bless them, because I'm never going back there. I can comfortably never go back to Disney World. There's nothing about it that I enjoy.
See, I'm going back. Yeah, I can tell you that right now.
Disney's why?
Well, my wife loves it. My wife loves Disney.
Okay,
and the kids had fun the last time we went.
All right, but I'm not saying my kids don't have fun. I'm just saying that
I'm not talking about you. You asked me the reason.
No,
I'm
no,
not
no,
comparing
I,
here.
No, but okay. So your wife loves it. Now,
loves
what
Disney.
About her? What about it does she love so much?
When I met her, that was the name of her cat. She's just into it. I don't know what to tell you. She's always loved Disney for whatever reason. And we went to every theme park, and the kids loved going on the rides, loved all of it. So I can tell you, as soon as it is possible, maybe even this summer, we're going back. It's going to happen.
Like what ride?
There was right from the beginning.
Because I won't go on the Aerosmith coaster because it's scary.
It's the best. The Aerosmith Rock and Roller Coasters. Because it's hysterical. B, because it's a great ride.
In fairness, none of my family likes any of that like scary rides.
My kid liked the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. They like Space Mountain. They like Splash Mountain. We went on that Avatar ride.
Supposed to be amazing.
It was. We waited, 40 minutes to get in. There's no fast pass to that. We got in, and my kids loved it.
See, we went on the ride where you're like, it's supposed to be going over the...
Soarin'.
Yeah.
Soarin'. We did Soarin'.
Crash cried on Soarin'.
Yeah.
It was so emotional.
That was one
cried.
Of the first rides we did because our hotel was next to Epcot. So that was one of the first rides we did.
I don't understand it.
See, the best thing about Disney is that you can turn your brain off and let somebody else entertain your family. Like, to me, that's the best thing. You just show up, you're like, let's go. That one. That one. That one.
Yeah.
That one. You don't have to think. Yeah. You can just do it.
There was a lot of thinking and a lot of lines.
Well, lines that's unavoidable. But, I mean.
So your wife just loves Disney. Like,
yes.
She likes, like, Mickey Mouse and stuff.
Yes. Yes.
Like, when was the last time you watched anything with Mickey Mouse in it?
I don't know.
It's not just Mickey Mouse, though, Fred. You got Avengers Land and Disneyland. You've got all the Star Wars stuff now, which Rise of the Resistance, I legitimately can't wait to do.
Well, the Star Wars thing is, like, we crashed the gate, like, when the place opened and put Milo into this thing. We're like, oh, wow, you're going to fight Darth Vader.
Oh, Jedi training.
And it took all day, and then he did it, and he was like, eh.
Oh, yeah. See, my kids love Jedi training.
See, that's the thing. I can tell you, I offered that to my children, the Jedi training thing. They had no interest in that.
No, he did it, and we spent all day doing it. I think I got up at 6 in the morning to go do it, and I spent my entire day. I have it on my phone, and when it was over, he was like, eh.
I had one kid that it was like a highlight for him. Like, he was all in, and one kid who could have given zero Fs. Like, and he's old enough, too. He wasn't like too. He was there, and he's just like, all right, Kylo Ren, And, like, the guy had to, like, hold up his lightsaber for him and fight him. And he was just like,
I'm sure they get that. Yeah. I'm sure that happens all the time. John, go ahead.
Hey, so you guys are talking about the Aerosmith ride. So I am not a small individual. And I got on that ride by myself because my wife was afraid. And as I sit in my seat, I'm hearing the thing going down, and everybody's getting click, 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 click. They get to me, and I get click. Just one click. So at that point, I'm looking around. I'm sitting there by myself. The guy next to me is looking at me, and I look at the kid pushing the thing down. He's trying to push it down some more. It ain't going. He's like, you'll be fine.
Because he knows.
Yeah, sure. I got one click. I'm going up, so you obviously know how high that thing is. Right?
Oh, yeah, you're going upside down. Yeah, oh, yeah.
I'm going straight up, and as I'm thinking, I'm like, all right, this is going to come undone. I have to hold. I'm like, and then it really comes to me. I'm like, how the hell am I going to hold on? I'm dead. I'm going to die. I only got one effing click. So finally, we go hit the hill, and I let it just go, and we made it. Obviously, I'm not dead, but holy Christ, I thought I was going to die.
Yeah, so you had so what you bought was a panic attack. Is what you said, a near-death experience.
I have not come back from it.
Yeah, I mean,
being a fat guy, you already go on these things. You're afraid. You're like, all right, am I going to fit? Am I going to sit? Am I going to sit down? And they're like, hey, man, you're too fat. You can't fit. Get off. Well, at least the dude's like, nah, man, you got one click. You're good. Enjoy.
Yeah, because the highly trained professionals that are the physics, the guys, the guys with physics degrees that are there.
And you're waiting for the judgment, too. You know, at all these rides, you sit down, they're like, all right, here's where they just, like, here's where it becomes a scene, and they got to bring out the second seatbelt in order to fit me in.
Yeah.
That's got to be. I mean, that's tough. But I know exactly what he's talking about, because they put the lap bar or the thing over your neck, and it goes as they lower it. Yeah. And if you get just one click, it means it's just they were barely able to put it over your shoulders.
And so the man had paid and waited and flown to Florida have what he believed is a near-death experience.
And that's why people do that. It's for that thrill of thinking you're going to die but not actually dying.
No, under the impression that there's like a 75% chance you could die.
But it truly could die.
Yeah, so...
So amazing.
See the beginning.
When it shoots you off. Smith, Tyler, see what Tyler's
talking. All the time I'm worried about other
things. I did the Toy Story ride. That
went good. I did that.
And there's that secret.
That I don't even remember what this is. Not what your score was. It took me a...
Hey, guys. Waited in line. Got about ready to get on the car. And I'm a big guy. And I went to get on the car, and this kid's like, excuse me, sir, can I have a word? And I was like, can you please sit over here on this chair? And I'm like, huh? And then so the guy tries to click the thing down, and he goes, I'm sorry, sir, but we'll have to get another seatbelt. And I'm like, well, first of all, I have the Hulk coaster. And he goes, all right, you go over to my, you know, village ride, too. So I go in there. We go to the front of the line. I go, hey, I'm kind of a big guy.
Great. Good for you.
So you're minor. You scale so much, Rich, as it is.
Got Disney stories all morning.
By the way, I've never heard of half these rides because I guess they're new.
Those are Universal. He's talking about Universal Studios.
It's a different park.
And Universal's a great park, too. Yeah.
Well, you were going to go to the hotel where you're like literally...
COVID box. But it's, you know, where you spend 2 days. It's like a 2-day Star Wars immersion.
Just saying, hey, you're trapped in this box.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe when, you know, all this craziness is over with, I might try to do that. I also want to have people go first because the early reviews, even though no one's done it, just the things that have been leaked out, I think have been fairly cheesy looking.
All right. We'll be right back.
The games are only.
Visit the bar at the 99 restaurant every Thursday night for 59-cent bone-in wings and a chance to win 99 gift cards. And
thing she's dreaming of. Their showroom is at the Norwood Space Center, where you can shop privately with a time and space that's exclusively yours. Plus, they have New England's largest selection of .com, the Diamond Guild, where New England gets engaged.
The Boston RV and Camping Expo is back. January 14th through 17th. Come on down.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Get out of here. Come on. Don't listen to them.
Listen to no one.
Don't listen to them. You're going to ruin your career.
Patrick Rich.
You can't listen to those people. They're maniacs.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sometimes when you're a high roller and the plebeians need some, you got to give it to them. Such is the case. I've often told you guys when it comes to ESPN, I'm an insider. Don't worry about it. I pay, you know, the $50,000 a year to get that insider status.
I was trying to find somebody, anybody, who had ESPN Plus. Because, I mean, think about it. So this Tom Brady Man in the Arena is something that's been going on now for several weeks. It's the show where for an hour they talk about every season that they went to a Super Bowl. Not won it, but went to a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. They do an entire hour-long show about it.
So there's 10 episodes in all for Brady.
There's 10 episodes in all. And you would think, for as Brady-obsessed as obviously this area is because of his time here, and a lot of it has to do with, you know, the majority of it when he was here, dude, I know nobody watching that show.
No, no one's watching it, and I have to give people a lot of credit. Even people that cover the team for a living aren't watching it, and Hurley is. But because I see them on Twitter announcing that they're not watching it because it's enough.
Well, also because it's not even that as much as who has ESPN Plus? Like, why would you get that?
I don't know how you guys don't have it, because here's the deal. I don't know how much you care about the NFL draft, but like everything about the draft, everything McShay and Kuiper do is under a paywall.
No, you have Insider, which I think gives you ESPN Plus. Right, but I mean, the average person who doesn't, you know, do the ESPN Insider.
But why wouldn't you just like...
How much is it? How much is Insider?
Oh, $4 for the year.
A month?
A year, for the year, I think.
I don't know.
All
about
I know
that.
Is it doesn't cost me much.
So basically, for me to upgrade, because it's the same company, I have Disney Plus, and for me to upgrade to having ESPN Plus with it, it's an extra $5. And I thought about it. I was like, maybe I should get ESPN Plus. And then I looked at it, and I'm like, what am I going to watch other than this? Well, and I'm not even going to watch all of this. And an old 30 for 30 that I've already seen.
I watch no videos on it. I just have always been an insider because. If you want anything about, you guys don't care about this stuff, but if you want anything about basketball recruiting or football recruiting or the NFL draft, it's all, or anything at the baseball deadline.
Right.
Well, if it's $4.
Law writes is all behind.
But I should, because I do care about a lot of that stuff, so I should.
Yeah, so I've had it since before we were on the sports station.
See, I didn't know that ESPN Insider got you ESPN Plus. I didn't know that. Well, and if it's $4 a year, then yeah, that seems like a decent thing.
I don't know. $4 a year, $4 a month, whatever. I mean, it's less than a sandwich.
Well, but nonetheless, Fred, it does kind of go to, you know, how interested people are in this. But there was one episode when this was all announced that I was like, you know what? Out of all the ones they're going to put out there, there's one that I'd want to see. I want to see the episode where they talk about the loss to the Eagles, because that was chaos personified. That whole year, there was the Seth Wickersham article that came out, but more than anything, the only thing I wanted to know from this entire series is Tom Brady and his opinion on what happened with Malcolm Butler. That's it.
Because Brady was superhuman that night and got undone by the fact that Butler didn't play.
The second half of that offense, I mean, Brady was, and I forgot because I actually watched a little bit of this. It's like, you know, the catch that Gronk had in the end zone during that game was just spectacular.
Brady threw for over 500 yards and lost that night.
It was just one of those things where I was like, finally, someone's going to speak. Tom Brady's going to say something about everything that went on with the Malcolm Butler situation. Guess what they didn't mention once? In that episode, Malcolm Butler. Not one mention of the benching of Malcolm Butler. The only thing anyone wanted to see.
I have no interest in watching. If they're not going to mention that, I have no interest in watching this at all.
But I don't care what he has to say about anything.
Well, then things got rich. So Tom Brady, I'm going to play you two clips here. I'm going to start off with this one. So Tom Brady took this episode, and it probably is mostly based on what was going on with Seth Wickersham and all the media, the Alex Guerrero criticism that he got. He took this opportunity to finally try to get back at his critics.
Sometimes when you have a lot going for you, you nitpick about things that are relatively unimportant. You know, it's no longer the ability to sell stories saying, oh, they won another game. People need the drama.
I have a lot of conversations with him, so those are private between he and I.
People need the Real Housewives conversations, and I think that's so much of what things became in a very short period of time, because there was people creating division.
You kind of feel like he's hiding something, or he doesn't want to divulge some information.
Would you say that was true?
I said I don't want to get into it.
Things were good, but, you know, well, why not nitpick at certain things that, you know, are chicken? In the end, it just doesn't matter.
First of all, second of all, like, a lot of that stuff was proven to be right. So you're saying you're trying to make stuffing out of nothing. I think it was all pretty much proven that it was right.
Well, no. I mean, how could... You can't want the fans to want to know what's going on with the team. You just want them to watch your 7,000 documentaries that you put out.
Well, let's get to this, because this is where things became really...
I like the music around it, too. Like, it's like... And then they found a second body on the side of the road. It's like, wow, they wrote about you guys not liking each other. How dare they?
So then I don't know how you can watch this and keep your eyes firmly not rolled into the back of your head.
It was a tough season. It was a grind season for sure. Let me tell you, it wasn't really that fun of a year. It was just a little eerie, the atmosphere with the Patriots.
And that was that when the boogeymen were in full effect?
It was eerie?
No, that was before the boogeyman. This is pre-boogeyman.
Everyone was kind of scared looking over their shoulder the entire year?
He had just been to Cleveland, so he had eerie on the mind. Yes. It's like, what's a word I could throw out there?
Eerie. All right.
Behind every corner, there was Kyle Van Noy. Ready to pop
Warlock's
out.
Lurking in the corner of the locker room.
Sorry, wrong one. I'm back. So eerie.
With the Patriots, and every day felt like there was some type of dark cloud over what we were trying to accomplish for one reason or another. There was, unfortunately, a lot of false narratives that were being spread about his relationship, my relationship, or how that all went down.
He was threatened by Jimmy Garoppolo.
It was just drama, and it was just soap opera stuff. Even though we were being very successful, even though I was playing great, it didn't matter because I was still dealing with constant negativity. The media were going to cause division, make people take sides. I think the noise was just getting louder. You know, more and more, I think the joy was being taken away because it wasn't about my football performance anymore. It was about so many other things. I think people always use the word humanize. Oh, you're such a human. I'm like, no f***ing shit. I'm a human. Everyone feels like they're entitled to everybody's thoughts and opinions all the time. Mind your own business.
All right.
You know
that,
what I mean?
That's Rich coming from a guy who just made a 10-hour series about him. A giant 10-hour commercial about how great he is. And he's saying, you know, people think that they need to know everything about everybody's thoughts. You know, mind your own business. All right. Well, help us out.
Which is
help
also,
us mind our own business and don't make these things.
Well, and also,
go
this,
away.
This isn't the first one. And by the way, like, you know what people should do is they should just focus on, like, my the way I stay healthy and to give me money for that and you know and have no interest in anything else.
And also hang on, he's if I'm not mistaken, did this come out like was that Eagles season the same season as Tom versus Time? Do I have my stuff lined up incorrectly? Because
He did Tom versus Time, so it doesn't matter. So what he wants everyone to do is focus on how wonderful he is.
That was the next year.
It was the next year.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
We were in March of 2018.
So you're telling me the mind your own business year, he said, you know what I'm going to do to make people mind their own business? I'm going to make a giant special about me.
Yes, he wants people to just focus on how wonderful he is. And what the media was doing was unfairly talking about things that all the time weren't nice, which is really unfair of the media if you think about it.
It was during the playoffs of that season.
They should just everyone should just be pushing about how Tom Brady's so wonderful and how you should give him money to rub you.
You're right. Tom versus Time started during that Eagles playoff run.
January 24th was the first one, so that was during the divisional round. Yes. And actually, they were right in the middle of it during the Super Bowl.
Yeah, can you imagine if you're Brady and you're putting out this documentary to tell people to give you money and to buy nuts off your website, and here are these meanie journalists that are reporting on what's going on behind the scenes with the team. I'm trying to get people to give me money, and yet here you are trying to get away from that narrative. How dare you? I mean, the media was being awful, wanting the facts about what was happening. Yes, Mike.
So you couldn't be more right about this. The first 30 minutes of this episode are him and Guerrero and how, like, pliability saved his thumb from breaking and all this stuff.
Of course,
the whole thing is Guerrero. Yeah, and then it goes into Gronk and how he started working with Guerrero.
Oh,
and then it finally gets to the playoff run.
So what the moral of the story is that Tom Brady wants you to invest hours and hours and hours of your life to propaganda about his how fit he is in order to give him money.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that distracts from that is devaluing him as a human.
So Dan just told me this, and since you've seen the episode, Mike, you can confirm this. In this episode, one that is the one that most people are going to want to watch, on a year that was probably the most tumultuous, there's a million different storylines going on. You're telling me that the only two guests that are on it are Gronk and Alex Guerrero?
For the most part, yeah.
Okay. Oh, nice.
Okay. And the game was mostly about the catch he didn't make.
Oh, about him.
Oh, the Super Bowl. The throwback pass.
Oh, self-deprecating Tom. Yep. Oh, you're so likable.
Yeah.
I didn't wear my glove. Isn't that his whole thing?
And then that a-hole Nick Foles made a catch down the other end. I can't do that.
There's these reporters that, you know, want to tell people that are interested in the team about what's going on, and there's no place for them.
If you want people to stop talking about you, stop talking. How about that?
Like, because he has things to sell, Rich, so he has to talk. It's the mean journalists that are writing about things that aren't positive.
You can have it one way or the other. You can either be a guy who makes a 10-episode, 10-hour special infomercial about yourself, but then you got to deal with people talking about you, or you can be the guy who can bitch and say, mind your own business, and live like a hermit. And basically be a guy who's you could be Mac Jones. We know nothing about Mac Jones.
But then
Mac
you
Jones
won't get any
disappears
money.
Into Bill Belichick's bunker and just goes away and you know nothing about him.
But then people won't buy the nuts on your website and the concussion juice. So I don't know what you're not getting. He has things to sell, Reg. And, you know, he's perfectly comfortable having his friends do documentaries based on him to get you to buy things.
This is just.
But then there's these guys that are reporting news.
Yeah.
That is not helping him sell anything.
This is the sound of a man washing his own balls for 10 hours.
He wants you to give him your money. And anything that's a distraction from that is obviously been deemed mean and inhuman in a way. Because he's a human being. He even swears. He goes, I effing right, I'm a human being.
Well, he's been hanging out with that ne'er-do-well Jim Gray too long. Who's got a chicken bleep. Mouth.
Well, I'll tell you what. The being in my parents' car with the satellite radio, the promos for that Jim Gray song show are as follows. He goes, hey, you know, we're going to find out a bunch of stuff that you probably don't know, Tom. And Tom goes, oh, yeah, like what? He goes, yeah, like the Ring doorbell now has a security alarm. That's the promo for it.
Two birds with one stone right there.
It's the most interesting thing about the show.
No, but instead of like actually setting up something and then going brought to you by Ring, he dispenses with anything of any interest and just goes right to the Ring app. Okay. I mean, they suck.
Jesus, Jim, just go. Do whatever you have to do. Bye. Here's the headlines.
Good luck to you.
Good luck to you. If I only was living your life, Jim. What a life you have. All right. Well, listen, if you want to watch those things, you certainly like Tom Brady. I have no interest in what he has to say.
I don't know
about
anybody
anything.
Watching it.
No, no one. I think Bertrand watched one.
I wanted to watch. Well, no, I saw the first one. And actually, in fairness, it was all about Drew Bledsoe, and it was actually pretty good. Yeah. But if this is the way it's going to go, if this is the rest of it, where he's just, you know, complaining about people, you know, why do you want to know what I'm thinking? Well, you just gave us 10 hours. 10-hour documentary about yourself.
Well, yeah, you know, but that, again, doesn't sell anything. And he wants you to, I mean, he's playing football at this point to sell things. He wants everyone to do his method and
how
to give him
dare
money.
You say that? He didn't make a branded shirt just specifically for his return to Gillette Stadium to sell at TV12.com, Fred?
Yeah, when his arm falls off, we'll see what goes on. I don't know how many passes this guy can throw, but all right, we'll be right back.
Sports Hub headlines.
Bruins beat New Jersey 5-3 at TD Garden. They're 3-0 coming out of their COVID break. They're back home again tomorrow night to play Minnesota. Celtics will host San Antonio tonight. Jason Tatum expected back. Grandy and Max have the pregame at 7 and the tip-off at 7:30 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Kyrie Irving returns for Brooklyn tonight. Patriots will be back at practice today. They visit Miami on Sunday at 4:25. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by Verizon, the 5G network that puts first responders first. Firefighters, police, and EMS save with exclusive discounts at Verizon.com. I'm John Wallach on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update at 8 o'clock.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
right now.
It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Toucher and Rich.
Everything's slow.
Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Toucher and Rich radio program, and we're running very, very late.
We got a slew of good guests coming up.
Brandon Merriweather, that will be followed by Mike Gorman. You can ask Brandon Merriweather about the whole Antonio Brown thing.
Mm-hmm.
If he was ever asked to play Hurt, because we heard Ted Johnson. A lot of people had not heard Ted Johnson's whole story, but Ted told us the story yesterday about how in a preseason game, he got a concussion. He was told by a first-year trainer to go back out, and he said no. And then a couple practices later, Belichick was like, you got to put on... He had a red jersey on, and he's like, you got to put on your blue contact jersey.
Blue one, yeah.
And Ted was under the impression he'd get cut if he didn't. So he did, and immediately got concussed again. So, I mean... you know, there is a problem if coaches, and I guess it happens a lot, that coaches will tell players to go out even if they're hurt.
What was the phrase that he said Parcells used to use if you're in the tub?
Can't make the club from the tub.
That's right. You're not going to make the club if you're in the tub.
You can make one club if you're in the tub. Another notch on the belt for the Yacht. Come in. Is it me? Is it the Stamos? It could be anybody in there. My daughter, by the way, is back on Fuller House.
Oh, okay.
In the Full House, the Fuller House first one, they even bring back the babies that John Stamos had with the woman who cheated to get her kids into college. So they have Lori Loughlin. They have their twins grown. Mm. Now, they're no longer on the show, but they do make an appearance.
Ah.
It's a feel-good scene.
Okay.
The whole gang's there. But they went to some school where they just learned to surf.
Surf school.
Yeah, they became two, like, surfer dudes. It's pretty cool.
Good for them.
Yeah? It's pretty cool. Huh. So I got Fuller House now running nonstop in my house. And I learned all about it. But I'll tell you what, that John Stamos did not age.
No.
No,
of course not. That is one of the more remarkable things in Hollywood, is that John Stamos is, what, 55?
Yes.
60? And he looks like he's 35.
And the Coulier did not age very much. Saget, a little bit. But Saget, I believe, is the oldest of all of them.
But that's the thing. We've had Saget in here, and I've seen it up close, so it's kind of hard to make that judgment.
He still looks good for his age.
Yes.
Saget, when Saget comes to Boston, he will come on. He always
does.
He doesn't have to. I mean, he sells other shows on his own.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But he likes the show.
I, for some reason, he has taken a liking to the show. I have no idea why.
I was just happy I was actually in here the last time, because the first two times he was in, Sarge was here, if you remember correctly.
Oh, yeah. Sarge brought the belt. I think Sarge brought a belt for Bob Saget to take a picture with, and I think Saget was as confused as all of us. Like, why am I standing here with this wrestling belt?
Because you would be confused. I mean, you would absolutely be confused.
I think that Saget actually became fascinated with Sarge.
Well, he did.
Oh, yeah. This is what I heard to be true.
Yeah, yes. If you have any guest in, yeah, they're going to be fascinated with Sarge.
For sure.
Any adult that presents you with, because if it was a kid, you'd be like, oh, like, he likes action figures and stuff.
Isn't that cute? Let me autograph that. But if he's 35.
But he's like, you know, I just thought you might want to see this. It's a belt I picked up. It's a $500 number. All right, when we come back, Brandon Merriweather will join us.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.